Hey guys, I'm Logan.
And I'm Patsy.
And this is Chills, a true crime podcast.
One that's sure to give you chills.
As always, if you are liking the show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you really love the show, then please tell a friend. All right, so it has been a minute since we've talked true crime. I apologize for our little break there, but we are back. And today we're going to be talking about the Klein Falls axe attacks. I apologize if you hear Tinsley. You guys know now that she just whines in every video and she gets upset whenever we don't give her our full undivided attention. All right, so let's talk crime. So our case takes place in the summer of 1977. And again, I know that we don't really chit-chat or anything, but I did want to say this real quick, because it's been a hot minute since we've actually filmed and have done any kind of research or anything. But it felt so good to actually do some research on a case again.
Really?
Yeah, it felt really good. English was like always my favorite subject in school. And I loved...
probably worst.
No, it was always my favorite. And my senior year, I did... it was a college level English course. And that was the entire... literally the entire class was just writing papers over and over again. Like, that's all we did for an entire year. And so I love doing the research for it because it's literally like writing a paper every single time. So anyway, just had to say that. But back to our case. So like I said, it takes place in the summer of 1977. So Terry Gents, who was 19, and Avra Goldman, hopefully I'm saying her name correctly. It's A-V-R-A. I would believe that that would be Avra, but maybe Avra. I guess it just kind of depends.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm going to say Avra. She was 20 and they were both students at Yale University and roommates. So they were cycling across the country on the newly opened Trans-American Trail. So I looked this up because I had no idea what this was. But it is roughly a 5,000-mile cross-continent vehicular route intended to be a way to cross the United States using a minimum of paved roads for leisure, traveled by dual sport motorcycles, off-road vehicle, or touring bicycles. So it's literally just made for, so it's like not made for like cars. So, which honestly, like, more power to them for bicycling across country. Like,
wow,
don't sign me up for that. No. Honestly, even cycling down the street, that's a little, it's a struggle.
I couldn't tell you last time I was on a bike.
Me either. I want to buy one so bad, though.
It's been years.
I mean, I wouldn't have anyone to ride with because Brandon does not believe in physical activity, but I want one. All right. So their cycling tour ended in Austria, Oregon. Hopefully I'm saying that one right, too. I think it's Austria. I think so. Anyway, and they both headed east through the state. On June 22nd, they stopped at the Klein Falls State Park in rural Dusitch County, and decided to camp there overnight along the river. So both girls got a little bit of like a weird feeling about the location. One of those things that you like, you can't really put your finger on, but something just feels like off.
Go with your gut always.
Yeah, of course. And I'm going to actually read you a direct quote from one of the girls. So this is what Terry said. One of us said, "I feel we're being watched." And the other said, "I feel something too." She said, "We felt the fear, small animals fear, as they looked for a place, a safe place to pitch our tent." So they literally felt like they were being watched. Real scary.
Yeah. That's me getting ready to go to sleep.
And I would have definitely head the heck on out of there. I've been, I'm out.
I'm scared sleeping in my car. Never mind a tent.
So then I also want to read this little excerpt from like the research I found. And this is going to be a direct quote from the website. And I'll link that in the show notes. So this is the direct quote. So the bike centennial guidebook the girls were using suggested that there was a campground at Klein Falls, which then, as now, is solely a day use area. Before the trip, the twosome made a pact to stay only in the relatively safer campgrounds. Gents' friend was reluctant to violate their rule, but after a short debate, exhausted from their over mountain ride, the two headed down into the park. So now this park is only like a day use area. People don't stay there. So they just shrugged off this weird feeling and went ahead and set up camp. So around 11:30 p.m., both girls were asleep in their tent and then awoken by the sound of a truck. They thought it sounded like a truck had driven right up to their camp. Terry believed it was probably just teenagers out partying. This is when the truck proceeded to drive over the tent before stopping its tires, pinning Terry to the ground at her chest. This broke both of her arms, one leg, her collarbone, several ribs, and crushed a lung. So I just want to stop and take a second. Let's just let that sink in.
Were they close by a road or something or anything?
No. And I'm going to tell you exactly where they were.
Because it kind of sounds like somebody may have just ran off the road. But, geez. Wow.
Hold on. Now I got to find it because I know I didn't add it. I guess I forgot to add this. So according to the state police, the assailant drove a vehicle over a curb, down a dirt slope, and between a pair of picnic tables to the tent. So they would have had to, okay, so here's the road, and they would have had to drove over the curb. Then it's almost like it's like kind of like a little hill thing, and you go down that little hill, and then there's like a dirt slope, and then picnic tables right next to the river, and that's where their camp was set up.
Wow.
So, like, it wasn't like, oh, this is an accident. I'm so sorry. No, this was 100% intentional. But, I mean, let that just sink in. Like, whew. Like, first off, I will not tent camp.
I've done it.
I've watched way too many horror movies for that.
If I can't lock the door in a camper, I ain't going.
Amen. I mean, it's basically just like sleeping out on the ground. I mean, the tent ain't going to protect you. And honestly, I feel like even camping in a camper, because, I mean, we used to camp all the freaking time. Even that, like, it scared me, like, as a kid.
It never scared me in a camper.
It scared me. I just didn't feel safe. It was just...
We used to tent camp in the backyard all the time growing up.
That's...
In little pup tents.
We only did it one time, and it scared the shit out of me, and I never did it again.
No, I'm talking about me and my mom.
I know, but
me. And my sisters, and, well, we made my dad do it with us, because we were too scared.
You remember me and Trent camped out on the trampoline, and we made you come out there because you got scared?
You guys have camped out on the deck before, right outside my door.
Yeah.
Because you're too scared to camp in the yard. This is way before we started listening to podcasts.
What? I wasn't even 10. I was definitely way younger than that.
You definitely wouldn't do that now.
No, honestly, and I remember it scared you because you had to leave the door unlocked.
I won't even, when we travel, I have to get a motel room. I will not sleep in my car. Will not.
No, hell no. Just feels so much like... less secure. Like, it'd be so easy to like break the window and stuff. So I would already be freaked out by sleeping in a tent, and so like honestly I probably wouldn't even be sleeping like that much, like at all. I would just be like wide awake and be like, what the hell, what was that noise? So then to hear a truck pull up, I would be losing my shit, and I cannot imagine how scared they were like the moment right before like the truck ran them over. Like, because then you're probably like, oh, okay, like, it's probably just some partygoers, like, trying to rationalize it in your head. And then that moment before, you're like, well, I hear them coming, but you're in a tent. It's not like you can actually see what they're doing. Right. You can see the headlights, but it's not like you're going to be able to be like, okay, yes, this person is running me over.
That's true.
Yeah, like, you're not going to know. And especially if he was, like, that close, if he had drove that close and then stopped, like, you're definitely not going to think that this person's going to run you over. You probably, like, oh, I just can't. All right, so back to the story. So a man exited the vehicle carrying an axe. Some people say that it's a hatchet. I don't know. Most of the research says axe, but there are a couple of articles that said a hatchet.
I don't care. Pretty sure it's an axe. Hatchet.
Well, still.
It's definitely up to no good.
Mm-hmm. So then he struck Avra in the head 6 times.
Oh.
6 times with an axe. Holy shit. So then, after that, the man stood over Terry. And this is a direct quote from her. I looked up at him and opened my eyes and said, take anything but leave us alone. Please leave us alone. He brought the axe down slowly and I caught it in my hands right above my heart. Grabbed the blade in my hands and then he withdrew it. What a fucking badass. Homegirl has 2 broken arms and a whole bunch of other shit, but 2 broken arms and was able to stop this axe. Like, whoa. Like, this girl is, like, literally the epitome of, like, a badass boss bitch. Like, ugh. Just listen to this story. Insane. I don't even know how you could do that. And her collarbone was broke. So literally to stop that, both of your arms are broken, your collarbone's broke, you're going to be in so much excruciating pain. I don't
know how she could even really lift her arm up, but...
Adrenaline, but still.
You have to be.
Scary. So after begging the man to leave them alone, the man got back in his vehicle and drove away. So Terry, severely injured, of course.
Yeah.
She stumbled to the road where she flagged down a car passing by. So remember, it's not like the road's right there. She had to walk all the way to the road, and then she was able to flag somebody down. So,
with
two broken arms, a broken leg.
Oh, geez.
Let's go back, and I will reread this.
And go uphill, because you said there was down.
Yeah, it's like a little hill type thing. Two broken arms, one leg, her collarbone, several ribs, and a crushed lung.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying. Bad ass. So, she stumbled down and she flagged down a car. And there were two teens in the car. Bill Pinhollow and Darlene Gavarez. I don't know what her last name is, but I know that they called her Boo. So, then... they drove, like, back to the campsite, like, back to where they had their tent set up to help Avra, who was also severely injured. And while helping her, they noticed a pair of headlights appear in the distance at the edge of the park, which frightened them because they, you know, obviously assumed it was, like, the attacker returning to the scene. The vehicle, however, drove away. I did read that they, like, the vehicle, like, looped around twice, and so they thought it was weird. But, I mean, I guess it could have technically been their attacker. But, I mean, the car didn't stop or anything. But, like, hashtag panic attack times 1,000. I'd be losing it all over again. So then the police arrived at the Klein Falls campsite a little after midnight on June 23rd, and they began investigating. They examined the tire marks left in the dirt and determined the vehicle likely had two bald tires in the rear, which were 6 inches in width, and then one of the front tires was probably bald, while the other had significant tread. Obviously, I don't really know what this means, but I'm sure you do.
Well, I mean, it's a clue. It really is. Yeah. Because, you know, it's not like any other vehicle. Now you know what to look for on the vehicle. The tires.
But, I mean, does it mean like that, like, three of the tires were bald and then one of them was probably new?
Yeah.
Okay.
New, quite newer.
Yeah. Compared to all the other ones. So then the girls were taken to St. Charles Medical Center. Avra underwent a 9-hour emergency brain operation because, remember, she was struck in the head 6 times. So the police weren't able to obtain a description of the attacker because, you know, Avra had a serious brain trauma and she didn't remember anything. Terry was conscious, again, have no idea how, but she didn't actually see his face. She said that
it would be dark,
Yeah, you wouldn't see his face. And then also, I feel like you're probably, like, so, like, scared and stuff. Like, your mind would probably even block it out even if you did see his face. Because, like, I don't know. That would be so traumatic. She did say that he was fit, young, and was possibly a cowboy based on his, like, clothing and, like, the way he stood and, like, held himself. So, following the attack, a local woman told authorities that she had been told that the attacker was a Richard Dick Dam, who is a local 17-year-old. He was interviewed by detectives on multiple occasions, and it was discovered that he had been in a fight with his girlfriend, Janie Fraley, the night of the attack. Richard never told the police his whereabouts for that night. Janie denied that the two were actually fighting that day, though she stated that they did fight very frequently. Richard underwent a polygraph, and it was inconclusive on July 14th. He underwent a second polygraph, which showed he was deceptive. However, the results were questioned after they discovered that Richard was on meth during the exam.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So the results of both of the polygraphed exams were analyzed by laboratories in Salem, and they determined he showed deception in both of them. Fraley later told the police that Richard had changed the tires on his truck shortly after the attack, and that the toolbox that he always had in the back of his truck was removed. Janie also admitted that he had been physically abusive to her on multiple occasions throughout the relationship. There was also another suspect in this attack, and his name was Richard Wayne Goodwin. Godwin, my bad. He was a convicted child rapist and murderer. So after this specific attack, the absolute piece of garbage was imprisoned for the murder of a 5-year-old child whose skull he used as a candle holder.
Wow.
We don't really cover children's cases on here, no. And I'm definitely not going to cover that one, but I feel like I need more information on that, so I may look into that just for my own personal... I don't know. I don't even know why you would That's do that, but okay.
That just...
Don't know. Honestly, I probably won't even be able to look that up. So, on the night of the attack, a relative of his who he was having a sexual relationship with... What? was reported as staying at the Klein Falls Park. So, this is kind of like the link between the two. However, Terry stated that he did not resemble her attacker. So, he was like the opposite of a fit cowboy. So, Terry and Avra survived the attack, and they both recovered from their injuries. And they actually did end up going back to Yale University as well.
Wow.
Avra was left with problems with her vision due to the head trauma. Some articles said that she was completely blind. Some said that she was, like, partially blind. So, not really sure what the actual outcome was. But
she survived is unbelievable. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, I'm not really sure exactly what the vision problems were, but she definitely had something. I would assume that she was probably like partially blind, but some say that she was completely blind. So then in September 1977, Avra's parents donated $3,000 to St. Charles Medical Center to fund for critical care monitoring equipment under the names of Pinlow and Gavarez, the two teenagers who found them. Yeah,
that was nice.
And helped save them. Then in 2006, Terry published a book recounting her life after the attack titled Strange Piece of Paradise. And while actually doing the research for the book, she discovered that the official records of the attack, including interviews, physical evidence, and crime scene photos, had all been lost.
Wow.
What a slap in the face.
I wonder how many times that actually happens. I'd say it happens a lot.
I would say, like, pretty dang frequently.
Wow.
Yeah, like, that's... Oof. Insane. And one of the girls actually said, or one of the people that actually like helped like save them, she stated, this is a direct quote from her, Terry truly saved their own lives. We were just the vehicle.
Wow.
Yeah. And the girlfriend, so the one that went by Boo, her and Terry are actually good friends. They remain good friends.
Okay.
Yeah. Very interesting. So, and she did, like, Terry did a lot of investigating for her book. Like, she kind of, I don't want to say, like, reopened the case, but kind of. Like, she kind of, like, opened up the case on her own just to do, like, the research for her book and honestly just to find out what had happened. And Avra, she came to the realization that the only way she could survive was by never speaking of that night.
Some people
ever
do that.
Again.
Some people do that.
Yeah. And that's actually something that I put in my notes. Like, I mean, this literally is a perfect example of, like, how people process things differently. Like, Avra was obviously, like, she just wanted to forget about that night, not be in the public eye at all. Like, I could not find any information on her after the attacks or, like, what she's currently doing. And I also could not find a single picture of her. Like, I literally searched high and low for a picture of her so that for today's, like, episode's Instagram post, could not find a picture of her anywhere. Terry, on the other hand, I could find 1,000,010 photos. Find so many photos. But I mean that just goes to show. She just wanted to completely separate herself from that night and pretend like it never happened. Where Terry, she healed by talking about it and like telling her story and doing the research for it. And it just, everyone heals differently.
I just wonder if she even kept her name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if she changed her name.
That kind of trauma... You're always going to be associated, you know, and just like... Just
and this was a big deal.
Remember. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a big deal.
Just to stay out of the limelight. Because if she graduated from different colleges, there'd be pictures of her and stuff. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, like, well, she went to Yale. Then
yeah,
she continued.
So, I mean...
I don't know if she ever graduated because, again, I could not find any information about her. So, honestly, she probably did change her name. I wouldn't be, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Because, I mean, if
or she, could
she ever said...
Or a middle name. You know what I mean? You don't know.
I mean, because if she ever told anyone her name, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you're that girl who was attacked. And like, that would just bring it right back up. Yeah. And I'm sure like that was probably her thought process. Yeah.
Constantly being reminded of it.
So I 100% get it, wanting to completely like,
absolutely,
take yourself away from that situation. But then I also understand, you know, wanting to kind of break it down in your head and just like, I don't want to say relive it, but almost kind of relive it in a way, just so that you almost become immune to it. Mm-hmm. So
everybody processes trauma and, you know, differently.
Yeah. I read that the two like grew apart, which, I mean, I get. They, Terry like stated in her interview that I found that they like grew apart because like Terry obviously kind of wanted to, I don't want to say relive it, but just kind of go over that night again. And that's how she healed.
Re-educate herself about it, maybe.
She like wanted to heal by like just getting it all out there.
Enough knowledge.
Yeah, where Avra did not. And that kind of, it made it hard because it was almost like there's like an elephant in the room and no one talking about it because, you know. So I did read that they grew apart. I also read that, like, Avra did not have any issue with Terry making the book. She's not going to read it, and she doesn't have anything to do with it. So. But, I mean, Terry, like, went through all of the evidence that the police had gathered. And I did read, this was, like, interesting. Well, not really interesting to me. But at that time, Oregon had a law where unsuccessful murder attempts, the like statute of limitations ran out after 3 years. If they did, I mean, so obviously that's why no one was prosecuted, because I mean, but also they didn't really technically have any evidence against anyone. So I mean, it's still technically like a cold case, even though, you know, obviously no one died, but
it just doesn't make any sense.
Unsolved.
Why anybody would do that. They were just in the car minding their own business, doing their own thing, you know. Why? What makes somebody so sick that they have to go and do that?
I don't know. Terry believes that it was really the damn guy.
And then they left him alive. You know, my thought is, a lot of people, if they're going to attack you and almost kill you, they're not going to leave any witnesses behind.
Mm-hmm. I know, that's what's so weird
still
to me.
I understand the whole thing, you know. Because there is a chance that somebody could identify you.
It's, yeah, I just don't get that. It's so weird to me.
I don't know, drugs. I don't know, because I don't do them. Never did them. But I would think that being under the influence of drugs or alcohol,
have something to do with it.
Or whatever he may have been under at the time, or they, it could have something to do with it. You know, you don't know.
I read a bunch of Reddit threads on this case, and some people believe that it could be like the Zodiac killer. I don't really see that in any way, but
I don't either.
That was like a theory that people came up with.
Yeah, I don't
I mean, that. It just has nothing. Nothing points me in that direction at all. Especially since the fact that they're still alive. Like, the Zodiac killer would definitely have killed them. Like,
yeah,
they would
for sure,
not be alive.
I would think. Who carries an axe in the back of their truck?
I don't know. It's just such a weird case. Because I don't get leaving them alive if you were going to go kill them.
Exactly. And did they have a campfire or anything? Did it say? So how'd they even know they were there? How did he even know they were there? Unless...
I mean, he would have had to be watching from the very
time. Yeah, like they said, they got an eerie feeling that somebody was watching him.
I also read an article.
Because it's down a hill.
Yeah. I can't remember the guy's name.
And it's a tent.
Actually, yes, I do. I screenshot it. Hold on. Let me pull it up. His name was Joseph Henry Burgess. He was a religiously motivated killer and usually killed unwed couples that were sleeping together. And so I did read a Reddit thread where they thought maybe that this Joseph guy thought that they were lesbians, and that's what led him to do it.
Or maybe he thought that it was somebody else in that tent.
Well, I mean, remember they said that thought that they were being watched, so maybe he was genuinely watching them, and he did think that they were like a lesbian couple, and that's what did it. But, I mean, again, this is just literally pure speculation. Like, this was just literally a Reddit thread that I read.
Right, you're just throwing things out there trying to figure out why.
Hmm. And, I mean, at first I thought that maybe Terry was the original target just because she had so much... Oh, she had, like, so many broken bones and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then that wouldn't make sense either because they were both in the tent and he wouldn't technically know.
So after she caught the blade of the axe or whatever it was, hatchet, mm-hmm. he just left?
Yeah.
He didn't try to do anything else to her? Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so no, I mean, they technically were both targets. Like, there couldn't have been one that was more so than the other because whenever you run them over in the tent, you wouldn't know which one you're running over. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, one, I guess, could argue that Avery had more damage because she had brain damage, so. I don't know, it's crazy. It really is. The weirdest crime, I think, that I've done research on. Because it just kind of almost seems... It seems random, but not. Like, the most random killing. Because it's not like... I don't feel like it's something that... Somebody that they could have known. Because they just so happened to stay at this place. Mm-hmm. Like, they said... I guess there was another campground 4 miles, like, up the road.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If they would have just went on down the road... And stayed somewhere else. It may have never, ever happened.
And or I mean, for them traveling that many miles.
Else in that park.
Anyway. Even. 4 miles is nothing. Just to literally stay somewhere you feel more safe. So, I don't know. It's crazy. That's all we have for the case. Have you been watching anything new or listening to anything?
No, I watched The Walking Dead. I was a season behind. I caught up on it.
Last night?
No, I've been catching up on it all week.
Mom is off work.
Yeah.
They shut down her work because of the coronavirus. I am still working. I mean, I work from home, so it technically didn't affect me, but...
Well, hello, Kingsley.
Okay. The door she apparently has a lot to say in this episode. You have a lot to say, huh? Who do you think did it? Who do you think did it? Yeah, probably. You're probably right. Come here, psycho. Get over here.
You've been listening to?
I haven't been listening to anything new. I'm still behind on all my podcasts. I have not listened to any of them. I have not listened to... Grab her. Hurry, grab her. I haven't listened to any of my podcasts. I'm still a couple weeks behind on literally all of them. I haven't listened to any of them.
I'll catch up on them once I get back to work.
I just have not been in the mood. I've really been in the mood just to watch, like, Netflix movies. I have, like, a big, huge, giant list of things that I've been wanting to watch, like, on my Netflix list. And so I've literally just been making my way through them. 90% of them are, like, horror movies. And I literally just watch them while I'm working. So. We watched Midsummer, something like that. I think it's on Amazon Prime today. It was weird. Real weird. Can't say I was a fan. Hmm. But, whatever.
We've just been doing a lot of yard work, a lot of cleaning out closets, cleaning out drawers, cleaning out cabinets. I have so much stuff to give to Salvation Army, and the Salvation Armies are closed. So, just kind of sitting in the corner of the game room.
Yes.
To find a place. So.
I finished my office. It's where we're in right now. Finished it. Then I repainted my whole entire closet. We put flooring down over the weekend. My walk-in closet. And... We still have to paint our bedroom and finish the bathroom and paint the dining room. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be done with painting. No, and the guest bedroom. Then we'll be done with painting. But, I don't know. I really want to go to the movies so bad. I've never wanted to go to the movies so bad.
Not an option.
No.
Just sit in your theater chairs down there in the...
Yeah, in the basement.
In the basement and get your bowl of popcorn, sew it in. Act like you're at the show.
True. Yes.
Drink a cup of beers, because now you can buy beer at movie theater, so.
Yeah, but literally the popcorn you buy at the store isn't the same.
I found some. What kind? It's called Ultimate Butter.
Tried it. No, it's not the same.
Oh, but it is. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but it's the closest I've ever seen.
I've never found anything that is even close to it.
Well, you're just going to have to wait longer.
I know. Brandon and I had literally just agreed that we were going to go to the movies every single Sunday. And then all this has started happening.
Yeah, it's true. You guys did.
So we're like, oh, we didn't even get to go one time.
So. Yeah, we'll make it. It's just very sad and, you know, upsetting. And hopefully everybody stays safe. And... All right,
but that is it for this episode. Somebody is losing her damn mind over there. So that is it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next Monday for an actual murder episode. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we'll be talking all about some murder. Because we haven't talked about murder in a while. And this was actually not even about murder. All right, but thank you guys so much for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we will talk to you guys next week. Bye.